after that prayer, after that singing, after that reading of the scripture, I better preach. I want to take that text this morning. Bad situation. Bad situations are nothing new. Bad situations are nothing new. Let us pray. Almighty God, we just want to thank you for this day. We thank you for this worship experience. The prayers, the song, the reading of the Holy Word. And now comes the preaching. So,
okay, is this his man?
You know my name, all of this. So, whatever it is, it might be destructive.
Maybe it's just the volume. Right, because people need to know. Where's the volume on
that? Give me that courage of sight, mind, and speech. Make it clear. Little Lord, where I say, my golden name is people growing.
Amen.
Not gonna call in the name, but bad situations are nothing new. One reason I love the Old Testament is because the writers have no problem sharing the bad situations the people of God face. Bad situations where God always had a way of making things better. And just like that gives me encouragement, that should give you encouragement also. But it just amazes me how God has a way of using anybody and sometimes anything to turn situations around. Last Sunday, we saw how God used Joseph. Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers. Joseph falsely accused and thrown into jail. But God used the slave. God used that slave who had become a prisoner to provide provision for a family that would last for 7 years. Oh, let's make that a little bit more current. God used a slave named Harry Tubman to set free some slaves on these shores. But the thing I love about God, God will even step into the situation. God got in the fiery furnace with them three black boys. God stepped down from glory and freed us from sin and from death. Now, when I'm speaking about situations, I'm not talking about things like the computer problem I had in the past week. I'm not talking about the run-in that I had with several customer support individuals. I'm talking about situations like COVID-19. I'm talking about situations like the death is caused, the pain is caused, the loss of jobs, dealing with a crazy man, dealing with crazy people. See, I'm talking about the death I see inflicted upon young, unarmed black men by law enforcement. I'm talking about the way young black men are killing each other in the streets of our city. See, we are dealing with a situation this morning that we need God to turn around. And it's my hope that if somebody this morning has given up, saying that situation can't be turned around, the text will show you what God has done. And if you believe and others believe, God can and God will make things go better. Last Sunday we were at the end of Genesis, and it seemed like nothing happened. And then here we are, talking about Moses, See, and what Father mentioned, we move into Exodus with Joseph being forgotten. Now, the text was so long, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to set it up. I'm going to just cut across the field and start working. And as we enter the text, the first thing we discover, as I've already said, people have a way of forgetting. Forgetting what you have done. Forgetting all that you provided. I'm not even going down one road this morning. I'm going to just talk about this next one. We did all the work. We brought skills that others never had. We laid out cities. We did the planning. And it's just been a few years that we learned there was a black man that brought the process of distilling that Jack Daniels to this land. It's just, in our case, not only what we did was forgotten, in many instances, what we did was never written. And Katie Geneva Cannon made it plain to me, if it wasn't written down, it didn't happen. In fact, the father said, if I didn't document things, I didn't get paid for it. And see, we can't depend on other people to write our story. We got to write our story for ourselves. Oh, the Bible for a long time was oral tradition. So it was real easy for the Egyptians to remove the story of Joseph from their records. Just like the true story of slavery has been removed from our records. But if you read the story in Genesis, even though Joseph was in charge, the Egyptians did not associate with Joseph or his relatives because they were herdsmen. They thought they were below them. So it did not take long. A new king came to power in Egypt who did not know Joseph, even though Joseph had saved that country from extinction. Oh, the new king started spinning a story paper. Oh, that's nothing new. The immigrants are now larger in number and stronger than we are. See, the fear of change of a culture will always cause fear to build in. And Burgo played the fear card. Let's be smart and deal with them. They're not like us. If war breaks out, they will join our enemies, fight against us, and then escape from the land. When these Hebrews were proudly just like us, they were proudly patriotic. Like us, leaving was the last thing on their minds. See, people make up minds, people come up with all types of crazy theories when they feel there might be a shift in the power, when all most people want to do is to get along and provide for themselves and our family. Oh, we know what was happening. They were sent to work on the plantations of Egypt. They were sent to work on the public work projects. They had to build storage grain cities where grain was grown. See, they had forgotten Joseph, but they hadn't forgotten what Joseph had taught them to do. Store grain for the hard time. But have they ever known? Resilience is in our DNA. Oh, this is our story. These are our brothers and sisters. That's why our ancestors, even though they couldn't read and write, they could grasp the story without knowledge of the language. They could come up with a good theology without going to seminary, sing songs like "Let My People Go" or "Did My Lord Deliver Daniel?" And in order as I studied the trials of black women in this nation, I learned that the harder the oppressor made it on our men, the more black babies black women had is in the past. They were oppressed and they grew more and spread. And do you see the same parallel today? But we keep growing and spreading. The Egyptians started to look at the Israelites with disgust and dread. Disgusted because they kept growing. Disgusted because the more they oppressed, the more Israelites they had to oppress. And see, that's why I know a lot of people don't read the Bible, because if they did, they would stop coming up with the mean that people who claim to be saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Spirit, some of the same people who will use religion as a cover for a lot of stuff. It's just that when you do ugly things to people, those are the actions of the devil's playbook. And God has a way of turning those situations brought on by ugly actions over. The hard work was not enough. But in addition to the hard work, in addition to the disgust and dread, the Egyptians enslaved them, made their lives miserable with hard work. Well, we have a slave in the day called low wages. Somebody need to say amen. We have a slave in the day called mass incarceration. They did miserable hard work that included making mortars and bricks, doing work in the fields, doing all other kinds of cruel work. And the sad thing is, work is of God. Work should be valued. It's just that men have a way of demeaning work. And when that bad situation shows up, I'm glad I serve a God who has a way of turning that situation. When hard times come, when they're bad, this situation, thank God for God-fearing black women. In the way, religion has removed some of the strength of black women today. What we brought into the so-called order of God that has been set up by man. See, we need everybody in our fight against powers and principalities that want to keep their knees on our neck. But instead of empowering God-fearing women, too many black men want to tell black women they what they can't do, or leaving black women to make it on their own. Listen, though, to the evil plan. When you are helping the Hebrew women give birth, and you see the baby being born, if it's a boy, kill him. And do you see the same playbook today? Kill the boy's spirit by locking him up. Kill the boy's spirit by labeling him inferior because he learns differently. Kill him by giving him drugs. Kill him for driving while black. Kill him by making him hate himself so much that he will kill anybody that looks at him. I've had to say it so many times. Things are just as they were in biblical times. Kill the boys. I'm just glad that we had women then. We need to empower some more now that would follow the example of the midwives in the text. For the two midwives respected God. That's something we not only need from mothers, we need some God-fearing fathers today. God-fearing fathers and mothers that respect God so much, the God who brought us a mighty long way so that like the midwives, we would not obey the king's order. And even though the king might not be sending out an order explicit now, so many things are systemic. So many things have been institutionalized that instead of disobeying the king's order, we are setting our boys up for death. I don't care how normalized things have become. Stop that Pharaoh, kill our boy. I'm glad when it did not proceed as the king wished. The midwives, they lied. Lie because they respected God more than they feared Pharaoh. See, I don't believe in lying. But if you have to lie, lie because you respect God more than earthly powers. But when you lie, then you respect God is in the text. God treated the midwives well. Not only did people keep multiplying and getting stronger, I'm all for mine that God produces stronger black men, stronger black women. Well, I see too much weakness. Weakness that refuses to address what needs to be addressed. Weakness that refuses to speak power, you know, to evil. Oh, that Lord, give us the strength as a people that we lost for our things even went further. Because the midwives respected God. They said God gave households of their own. See, God has something for all of us. And if you haven't gotten what God has for you, it might be because you be a king boy that you be a, you respect God. The people say I'm crazy, but I'm not. I just respect the God that made me, the God that has all power. Oh, when they plan, when one of the plans of the enemy does not work, the enemy's always got another one. If we can't kill the boys when they are born, Pharaoh makes an open season on all of the boys. Reminds me of a statement by Bernie Jones. In fact, you know, the title of his sermon, squirrel season is limited in Alabama, but black men are always in season in Alabama. That was the case then, and it's just as bad now. Come with me, Trayvon Martin. Come with me, Ahmaud Arbery. Come with me, all the black men killed by vigilantes, not just by lynching in the past, but by standing your ground and not misinterpreting Second Amendment rights. That's the very same order that Pharaoh gave all of his people. Throw every baby boy born to the Hebrews in the Nile River. And it's gotten worse today. But too many black women, Breonna Taylor is just one. Black women are being thrown into the Nile River just like our boys in here. But no matter what plan evil comes up with, God can even use your presence. Oh, see how Christians shout, you know. And Pastor Wise said, Christians don't know what to say. Because of me, the evil, the hateful, God has a way of choosing them, sometimes incorrectly, to make things better. I've seen it. I hope you've seen it. And I'm praying this morning that we're going to see God do it again when it comes to this present situation. When Moses' mother saw that the baby was not, in spite of all the health disparities we face, despite all the environmental toxins and unhealthy products that we have served as food, our young boys and men are still healthy. The boy was healthy. The boy was looking good. So she hid him for 3 months. Hide our young men as long as you can, because the world has a plan to mess them up and kill them. But when she could no longer hide, she took some of the little that she had, a reed basket, and sealed it up with some black tar. The smell of the tar could have made the baby cry, but the tar allowed that basket to rise and fall among the reeds on the back river bank of the Nile. Moses' sister stood by to see what would happen to a baby brother. I see it's good when in times of danger you got a brother or a sister in addition to God watching over you. But things are getting ready to change for the very daughter of Pharaoh who said to kill the poor. Pharaoh's daughter comes to the Nile where Moses had been placed to take a bath. If you don't see it, God is already moving. But God has the daughter of the oppressor show up on the right day at the right time. See, somebody need to pray this morning. God show up on the right day and at the right time, even if the right time is right now. Oh, she saw the basket, and she sent one of her servants over to bring it to her. Now watch God work some more. work with the image of God that is in all of us. See, it's just that for too long, many of us have let evil shut down the goodness of God that's in all of us. When she opened the basket, she saw the child. The boy was crying. Probably crying because he was hungry. Crying because he needed to be helped. Crying because that stock that tar had been sticking up that basket. And the daughter of Pharaoh, even though she knew the eating of her father, she had refused to drink the Kool-Aid. She felt sorry for Moses and said, "This must be one of the Hebrew children that my father ordered to be killed." But there was another one who was not buying in on the hate also. She don't lay no bumps because of family or because of who they work for. For the servant girl said, "Would you like me to go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? Or we've nursed many children for other people." God is switching up the situation. So this child that was supposed to die, this child that would be put in a dangerous situation, that child that found favor in the home of the bird man that wanted him dead, that child is now going to be nursed by his own mother. Y'all got to start reading this Old Testament. It's a real stuff. They found Moses' mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I'll pay it for you for your work." See, ain't no again, like Pastor said, too many Christians don't know where to shout. See, not only has this child been rescued, this child's mother is going to get paid for what the father was going to do anyway. Is there anybody here this morning that has seen God change things up in a way that you never could imagine? See, that's reason to give God some thanks. That's reason to give God some praise, even though we might be in a bad situation. Raymond, go and praise Him. Go and thank Him for being a good God.
Because the blood of the Father
is heard in the children. The women might still have children, but the children would not carry the blood. And that's why we sing so many times. We know it was the blood. We know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. But crucifixion was common during the life of Jesus. The roads leading to Jerusalem were lined with crosses. A lot of blood had been shed. But there was only one person. One person who cried the blood. The blood of God that could wash away our sins. His name, I said, his name was Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for stepping down for glory. Thank you, Jesus, for putting on human flesh. Thank you, Jesus, for climbing up Calvary's hill. Thank you, Jesus, for suffering and dying for our sins. Thank you for your shed blood that washed away our sins. And then awake with a very bad situation, sin and death that separated us from God. Thank you for getting rid of that terrible situation. Thank you for getting rid of that bad situation in our text. And thank you, we praise you, Lord, for each and every time you turned away our bad situation. Say one more down that road this morning. But I gotta thank God. For a bad situation, God got me out of on the fourth Sunday in August of 2010. While I walked in the church that morning, nobody was there on Sunday school. And then I went back to the sort of side between the fellowship hall and the sanctuary and they gave me a piece of paper saying I couldn't trespass on the property anymore. Told me my ministry was over. You know, all I could do was I went with my friend Manny Deese over to his house a few minutes. And then I went on back up to Tom's Creek. Barbara came up there with me. Mama Sue came up there with me. Pat came up there with me. Oh, that was New Hope Fellowship in the making. And 2 weeks later, God brought us back together again. See, don't believe in no evil plan in church for that. Because God can turn around your situation every time. Each and every time God turns it around. And we want to praise God in advance because we know you're going to turn around the situation we're in right now. In fact, no matter what comes our way, if you believe, if we trust in God, no matter what evil plans might come up with, we know and we believe because of the courage of God, because of what God has done before, God can and God will. Or let me place a family to root a petition. You know, he said he won't want to do it anymore, but won't he do it, church? Will he do it, church? As Rudy was saying, won't he do it, church? Won't he open up doors? Won't he put food on your table? Won't he give you life? Won't he heal your body? God will. I said God will. God will turn your bad situation around. Right now. Because we serve a God who's special. Who's special. And making things right. Amen. There's somebody